The present conference is on the handmaids of the precious blood. Needless to say, an ambitious subject. First, after a brief introduction, I would like to concisely identify who are the handmaids of the precious blood, and then ask, what are the needs of the priests in the Catholic Church? And then, that the sanctity of priests is a lifetime process. And go on to explain the role of the handmaids for the sanctification of priests and a hopeful look into the future. There are about 4,000 religious institutes of men and women in the Catholic Church throughout the world. Some are large religious communities, like my own Society of Jesus, with over 25,000 members. Some are small, with 25 or even less members in the community. But the size of a community is no index either of its importance or the need that it serves in the Church of God. The handmaids of the precious blood are not numerically a large community. Now less than 40 sisters. Yet I believe their providential importance is far beyond all proportion to their numerical size. Who are the handmaids of the precious blood? Not being one of their members, any description that I give will necessarily be only an approximation. The handmaids of the precious blood of a community of contemplative sisters founded 40 years ago. Exactly as long as I have been a priest, almost to the day. They were founded by Father Gerald Fitzgerald in order to pray, sacrifice, and by their own practice of virtue, beg God for the sanctification of the priests of the Catholic Church. They concentrate on adoration of the Blessed Sacrament exposed here at the Mother House in Jemez Springs, New Mexico, the adoration is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the Hanmeys are not only a contemplative community. They are also an apostolic community whose built-in purpose is to reach out to others in the church, bishops, priests, but especially other religious and the faithful among the laity, to also pray, sacrifice, and practice virtue for the priests in the Catholic Church, to help priests who are in trouble, to protect priests from the temptations that assail them on all sides, and to sanctify priests so they might become what Christ wants them to be. What are the needs of priests in the Catholic Church? In order to appreciate the purpose of an institute like the Handmaids of the Precious Blood, all their meaning is finally tied in with the needs of the Catholic priesthood, but as envisioned by the founder of the Handmaids, Father Gerald. As he saw the problems of the Church before the Second Vatican Council, and let me tell you, his vision could not have been clearer. He saw at the center of the needs of the Catholic Church the fundamental need for holy priests, not just priests, but holy priests. Always in Father Gerald's vision was the need in the church for priests who are literally other Christs, who are living up to the exalted vocation to which they have been called. Let me briefly read for you and then draw out what Father Gerald saw in the formula of ordination of priests. As the bishop lays his hands on the man to be ordained to the priesthood, he says the following: it is surprising, I quote, "We ask you, all-powerful Father, give this servant of yours the dignity of the priesthood. We knew the spirit of holiness within him. By your divine gift, may he attend the second order of the hierarchy and exemplify right conduct in his life. Amen. Unquote the words of ordination. This is the main burden of this conference. To help all of us more clearly see the distinction that Father Gerald saw as shown in the formula of ordination we just read. When Christ ordains a priest through the hands of a bishop, a successor of those apostles whom Christ first ordained at the Last Supper, every priest in the Catholic Church traces his ordination back to that first ordination on Holy Thursday night. But notice, in ordaining her priests, the Church, through Christ, does two things. Christ, through the bishop, confers on the priest the two mysterious powers, one over the physical body of Christ, the other over the mystical body of Christ. The first power is to change bread and wine into the living body and blood of Jesus Christ. And over the mystical body of Christ, the awesome power of forgiving the sins of the sinful faithful in the sacraments of penance and anointing. No other human being on earth has these two powers. That's the first thing that Christ confers on the man he ordains. But secondly, while conferring the superhuman powers of the priesthood, Christ gives the man whom he ordains the beginning of the power to be holy. Expressed in these very few words of the sacrament of ordination, twice the spirit of holiness, and how the priest might exemplify right conduct in his life. The first power over the physical and mystical body of Christ, every priest possesses the moment he is ordained. And nothing, no matter what he does or what he becomes, nothing will ever deprive him of that power. But the second is a gift with which the priest must cooperate. It is a grace to which the priest must respond. Semicolon. But the priest cannot, hear me, he cannot respond to the grace of holiness alone. He needs, he must have the help of all the people of God. The sanctification of priests is a lifetime process. As I mentioned earlier, I have myself been a priest through almost 40 years. But undeservingly, I've also been privileged to teach priests their theology and to counsel them through almost all my priestly life. I would estimate about 1,000 priests that I have personally taught and counseled. But I also know the history of the Catholic Church. One conclusion stands out from my own personal experience and from my knowledge of the Church's now almost 2,000 years of history. The Catholic Church is as strong and as effective in carrying out the work of Christ as Catholic priests than I thought I would. Be specific. As Catholic priests are priestly priests, chaste priests, truly poor priests, obedient priests, prayerful priests, humble priests, loving, self-sacrificing priests. My exorcist friend in Rome, whom I met just a few weeks ago. Told me the day of his ordination, he was told by his pastor, "Now, Father, you must be ready to have the people eat you up, wear you out, consume you, if you're going to be a good priest." I repeat my statement. The Catholic Church is as strong in any age or in any place as our priests, our holy priests. Priests modeled on the great high priest who ordained them and whose death on the cross made their priesthood possible. They must be priests who die to themselves like their master, that souls might be saved. In order to be holy priests, they themselves must, of course, struggle with the world, the flesh, and especially the devil. They must become more and more detached from the sinful world all around them. And yet, a world in which, as priests, they must be deeply immersed. But, and this is Father Gerald's vision, this is the charism of the handmaids of the precious blood. Priests cannot do this alone. A simple act of their free will, just because they have the power, consecrates bread and wine into Christ's body and blood on the altar. No effort. Let me change that. Oh, yes. The effort of an act of faith. I'll never forget my first Mass, which happened to coincide with the anniversary of my baptism. The faith that a priest must have as he leans over the bread and wine and changes them into the living Christ. Well, that's the only effort that a priest needs to make. But it is a lifetime effort to grow in that sanctity which Christ wants his priests to possess, in order that, having the powers of the priesthood, they might be able to draw souls to Christ, because the faithful will see in the priest another Christ on earth today. The role, therefore, of the handmaids of the precious blood is to obtain for priests what they need others to help them receive: the grace of becoming holy. Holy not only in what they handle, but holy in what they are. Now more specifically, what is the role of the handmaids of the precious blood for the sanctification of priests? Father Gerald envisioned the handmaids of the precious blood as providing not all the possible ways, but what in his judgment was the single most effective way of providing, when necessary, for the conversion of Christ's priests, but always for their sanctification. This is the heart of my message in this conference. Whatever else Father Gerald saw, and he saw clearly, and he was misunderstood, what a mild word. He was terribly misunderstood by his contemporaries in his concentration on the one most effective means for the conversion and sanctification of priests. And it is this most fundamental means that he bequeathed to the handmaids. These means, Father Gerald believed, and the handmaids, following Father Gerald's spirit, also understand these means are first, last, and mainly supernatural. These means are not mainly emotional or physical or psychological. What the priests most need to be and remain faithful to their priesthood is a supernatural means that Christ instituted and that Father Gerald passed on to the handmaids. They are, first, the Holy Eucharist. They are, secondly, a life of self-sacrifice. They are, thirdly, the practice of all the virtues required by a person who is living an honest to God religious life. In Father Gerald's vision, the priest's most need, supernatural grace. The promise of that grace was given them when they were ordained. The outpouring of that grace must continue on through life. As Father Gerald understood God's will, priests can best be helped. My notes underline the word best, can best be helped by the use of means that are beyond the natural. Adoration of our Lord really present in the Blessed Sacrament. Liturgical prayer. The liturgy of the Eucharist and the liturgy of the hours. And a life of humble, faithful practice of chastity, poverty, and obedience. And that is one dimension of the handmaids of the precious blood. But there is a second level to their purpose as envisioned by Father Gerald. And this is where the handmaids have just begun, I mean it, have just begun to achieve the purpose for which, under God, they were founded. They are not only themselves to worship Jesus on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. They are not only themselves to live lives of dedicated self-sacrifice and lives of 24 hours a day practice of the virtues of a consecrated life. They are also, and that is why I suggest to this conference, it was all, I don't want to say my idea. I hope our Lord told me to do it, and to make sure I would say only what he wants me to tell you. I wrote this conference on my knees. The handmaids of the precious blood are an apostolic community. They are, in the years to come, to inspire, as they have already done in no small measure, tens of thousands of people throughout the world to catch the vision of that humble servant of the Master, Father Gerald. So that the Church of God might be a church that prays, that suffers, and that labors for the conversion where need be, for the sanctification always of those who under God are Christ's channels of grace to the sinful descendants of Adam and Eve. I'm not quite finished. I want to say something about the hopeful future. The need for holy priests has not lessened over the years. Lessened. It is greater than ever. And I would say in our century, it is greater than ever before in the history of Catholic Christianity. That is why the handmaids of the precious blood and the apostolate, which under God they are meant to provide, is greater than when they were founded. The evil spirit, he is more active in the world today . The late Pope Paul VI said, more than ever since the crucifixion. And the principal target of the devil, I know, is the Catholic priesthood. The devil knows. That's why he entered the heart of Judas to betray his master. The devil knows. If he can seduce priests, he can subvert the Catholic Church. And the priests have power over Christ's physical body and blood. They have power from Christ to absolve sinners of their sins. But they must grow. They must be sustained. They must be constantly assisted by the prayers, the sufferings, and the good works of the faithful in order that they not only are priests, but priests in whom the world will see Jesus Christ on earth today. I am confident that in the years to come, the vision of Father Gerald Fitzgerald will spread far beyond its already wide horizon. And this vision will give the Catholic Church what Christ most wants for his mystical body: priests who are other Christs serving the followers of Christ. Priests whose holiness is the magnet that would draw the souls redeemed by the blood of Christ to follow in Christ's bloody footsteps here on earth and possess Christ eternally in the life to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.